You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So the pandemic has forced nearly two-thirds of Americans to work remotely, making it clear just how much work can get done from home, even with kids in the background. So we're starting the hour with practical advice on how to manage our workplace relationships when everyone is on their own island, right? Are you working from home during the pandemic? Have you worked from home in the past, or are you new to telework? What have you learned through this experience? Do you feel more or less productive? We're at 800-642-1234. Andrea Warrock is a savings and money expert. She's been writing about how remote workers can improve their communication. Andrea, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me on this morning.
Well, tell us about your setup. How are you working from home?
Yes, well, I've been working from home for nearly a decade, so this is nothing new to me. And when our local governor requested that we stay home, put those orders in place, my life wasn't turned upside down. But I know that for so many people, it really has changed. People had to adopt a whole new lifestyle and also the way they work overnight, almost instantly. So I know how challenging it could be. So there are definitely things that you need to do, what I've found over the years, to help you be productive, help you be efficient. And so a couple of items that just to knock off right on the list that helped me create the most or best workspace would be, first of all, having a dedicated office space, having a dedicated desk where you work. This just helps you get into the zone, I like to say.
But the couch is so comfortable.
I know. And look, don't get me wrong. Obviously, in this situation, nothing is necessarily normal. And because people are home now with their children without childcare, maybe that does mean sometimes you do set up on the couch with your little kids who are watching a cartoon to keep them a little bit more entertained and keep an eye on them while you're replying to an email. But it would be really great to have that one area, even if you don't have a large space, tucked away where you have some quiet, able to focus. And when you sit there, you are able to just feel like this is the time that you're working and you can get into a better headspace.
Yeah. There's been some research, though, in recent years that says we actually do get more done at home. We're being better to our employers because we realize there is flexibility in this. Is there anything to that?
Yes, definitely. And I think that with more people working remotely who potentially weren't able to before, companies that maybe were reluctant to allow their employees to work remotely who had been forced to now, I think it'd be really interesting to see how many of these companies will begin to allow their employees to work away from the office more frequently, because there are so many tools to allow us to communicate effectively with our teams and our clients and supervisors or who have you. But also, I think people who work from home, you're cutting down the commute time and you're cutting down other wasteful time, like meetings that maybe don't need to happen so frequently. So I think it allows people to be efficient and there certainly doesn't mean that you can't be productive when you work from home. Again, there are a lot of tools that can help you be that way.
We're talking with Andrea Warrock, who is a consumer and money-saving expert. You can join in. What have you found about working from home? What do you think of it? What are the biggest challenges for you? And what do you like best about it? We're at 800-642-1234 to join in. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Andrea, there are some project management tools that are technology that can help us stay on track and keep from being too distracted or getting off track on these projects. What would you recommend?
Definitely. So I know that there are several platforms that are out there, and maybe your company already has one that they're asking you to use. So there are some companies like Slack or tools like Slack, for instance. And this is a really cool tool because it allows you to manage all your projects in one place, and you can create different boards, I guess you could call them. And there are other similar project-based management tools like Trello as well. And you can create your little projects and assignments per project and tasks that you can then check off and just kind of keep everything in one place. And what's so nice about it is that if you have colleagues who are working on the same project, or perhaps you're waiting for someone to finish a task before you could move on, you can kind of manage everything in one place together where you can see where your status is, what each other's status is. You can leave comments. And a lot of companies are actually also using these project management tools to continue the personal conversations where they might have a board where people are sharing, you know, funny things that are happening throughout their day with their kids. And what's nice about that is that kind of keeps that, you know, team building spirit, because that's one of the biggest challenges when you're working from home is that you're losing those natural personal connections that just occur throughout the day when you're in an office. Maybe when you, you know, greet a fellow colleague in the elevator in the morning, and maybe, you know, you talk about how crazy your morning was with your kids and your commute, and you just kind of bond over that, or you're going to grab your sandwich from the refrigerator and someone asks you to sit down and eat with them. You know, those are the kind of things that you're missing throughout the day. So I am seeing that companies are using these management tools to also kind of recreate those personal moments.
Interpersonal communication, exactly. Even the small talk actually matters in building these relationships with your coworkers.
Yeah. And so I think that's what people are noticing the most. So I'd be interested to see if any of your listeners had that to share as well. And I think people don't even realize when they haven't worked remotely how much they might miss that. You know, I think working from home and being able to be on your own schedule and maybe not have to get dressed and go to and drive to work sounds really appealing. But when you're in it, you realize that it could be a little bit more challenging than you expected, especially if you rely on those social moments and that and those personal connections at work to help you kind of get through the day and feel like there's a purpose to what you're working on.
When you're using these types of platforms or communicating even through a traditional email, how do you know that you're setting the right tone, that you're using the right communication for the environment you're working in, which, you know, you're on your own island, your colleagues, your boss, they're on their own in their own separate world. How do you make sure your communication is clear?
I think the most important thing, and especially from the, you know, get-go, so now we're, you know, several weeks into this, but it's never too late to start, is just to over-communicate. Over-communicate, and also, you know, don't be afraid to ask as many questions as needed. And if you're not getting guidance, so as a supervisor, as a manager, what I would recommend is that you provide as much information to your employees and to your team about what your expectations are. What time do you want everybody to start work? How should they be available to answer your questions? What are the platforms that you're using? Do you want someone available on Instant Messenger, on email? Are they supposed to be on this platform? Is there a chat thread there where you should be available to answer questions and all that? So it's important to over-communicate and speak with your team as often as possible.
We have communication consultant Andrea Warrock giving us tips on how to be our best selves in a remote office environment. How do you make sure you're doing a good job of communicating clearly with your coworkers when you work from home? Are you setting boundaries between work and home life? Can you actually enforce those divisions of labor and step away? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Andrea Warrock here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about working from home on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Millions of Americans are taking part in this unprecedented experiment in working from home during the pandemic. I have logged onto meetings in my backyard, in my laundry room, sitting on a pillow in the closet under my stairs. Very private, I might add. Can't be found. Are you happier, more efficient, want to hang on to the benefits when the pandemic ends? Do you think you communicate more effectively with your coworkers when you're not in the next cubicle? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Andrea Warrock, who is a consumer and money expert and a communication expert. She stays with us. Andrea, aside from the platforms that help us really stick to our projects and communicate with colleagues, how can we just motivate ourselves in general? How do we stay disciplined at home?
Yeah, so definitely, I think that is one of the biggest challenges, is to separate your work from your personal life and to create those boundaries. I would definitely recommend having your set start and stop times and really abiding by that. So that means not going and just hopping on your computer or your phone and checking your emails and responding with technology so readily available at our fingertips. It's so easy to do, and then people and you know, you can continue working through dinner and after dinner, but that will kind of make everything blend and not really give you that focus and the discipline when you are sitting to work. So it's important to set those boundaries for yourself, and then you're in work mode, and then you're in your family mode, whether it's being a husband, a wife, a parent, and you know, keeping those two completely separate. And then also there are little things that I do just to help me, you know, stay more focused. So for instance, like every night before I go to sleep, I really try to clean my workspace, but also just kind of get my dishes done, get the laundry into the washing machine, just get a few little chores out of the way so that when I wake up in the morning, those chores don't distract me from starting work. For me, those personally help me feel motivated the next day. And then when I'm building my schedule, I also add not just maybe the phone calls I have planned for the day or an assignment, but actual tasks for the different assignments are built throughout the day into my calendar so that each pocket of time has a deliberate action that I need to complete within 15 minutes or 30 minutes or 10 minutes. So it could be if I'm writing an article, it's not just writing that article, but it would be doing the research that I have to for maybe my intro and finding some data and stats for the first 20 minutes, then another couple hours for conducting interviews or phone calls or even looking up who my interviewees will be for that story. And so I think that if you can really, boil down your calendar and your schedule into actionable items, that will really help you stay unfocused and you have a clear objective for how to use your time. And it might be really interesting to see that you don't need 8 hours to complete all your tasks, and then you can get it done in a shorter amount of time, and maybe take breaks when you're feeling not as focused and work during your most productive hours.
So what I'm hearing is being very intentional about your schedule and breaking things down, kind of inching a project, taking it one step at a time. Because if you just look at it as a whole bulk, I got to write this whole article, it feels hard to get there because you're looking at it as a whole.
Right, exactly. I love how you explain that. You want to break it down into smaller steps. It's easier to digest, easier to plan for, and easier to, feel motivated to tackle it. So, anything that's too big, too overwhelming, you might procrastinate and lose focus, especially when you're at home with so many distractions.
We're talking with Andrea Warrock, who is a consumer and money-saving expert. We're looking at communication during the pandemic. How do you make sure you're doing a good job of communicating clearly with your coworkers when you work from home? And if you could work from home permanently, would you take the option? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Andrea, how do you take into account communication preferences for people who just don't work like you in a remote setup?
I know this is definitely a challenge, especially when there's a lot of different people who you rely on to get your work done. So it's best to find out what are their preferred communication platforms or tools, how do they communicate the best, and kind of work with them, just being aware of how they best work. You know, do they need you to walk them through things? Do they need you checking in periodically throughout the day or just speaking on the phone? Some people like that. Some people just want email and they work best without the constant text or phone call distractions. So it's really adjusting the communication preferences per each person on your team or within your firm to get your work done.
What do you think about all the video chat conferences going on? How do you make those less awkward?
I think that video is so great. And when you can do it, and when you find that your teammates, your team members are like that option, I think it's best because it gives you that. In a world right now where we're not having those personal connections, it's the next best thing. And being able to see somebody also when you're speaking to someone, then those facial cues because, you know, it's not just the words that you're saying when you're communicating that matter, but also the way somebody speaks, the way their eyes or their eyebrows or their cheeks, you know, move, also body language. So having those video calls really are important. And when people are feeling so isolated, it gives them something else. It gives them that the outside world to make them feel a little less isolated. So I think it's such an important factor in business, but also in your personal life. So hopefully you're still having those video chats with friends and with family who aren't nearby.
Let's take a call now. Matt is joining us from Waukesha. Hi, Matt.
Good morning. So I would just like to say I completely agree. Inflections in a person's voice can be absolutely critical compared to like a text. But also I want to say something about breaking things down into more manageable pieces. When my grandpa was alive, he used to tell my brother, my cousins, whatever, he used to say, a yard is hard, but an inch is a cinch. And if you just keep inching forward, you'll eventually get that yard.
I love that. I love that mantra. Matt, thank you so much for sharing that. Inching it, Andrea.
I love that. Yeah, no, I couldn't have said it better. So thanks for I'll have to use that from now on.
What are some good examples of great team building, especially when so many different hands are in a project and trying to make progress on something?
Right. Well, I was touching on this a little bit earlier, but I think having daily calls and daily video check-ins, finding a time that works for everybody, or maybe it's once a week or a couple of times a week. If it's a really big project, if that's time sensitive, I think daily or maybe in the morning and the afternoon, if it's something that needs to get done in a couple of days, would be okay. But having these daily call check-ins to really motivate each other, to check on your progress, to hash out any small issues that might come up in the next day or two that could create a hurdle. I think having those calls really can help out and get people through the process.
And sometimes working from home can feel isolating, even if your home is really busy, it's a very loud place. How do you make sure that everyone is staying on the same page and feels connected?
As I was mentioning, there are companies who are offering these, these fun ways to stay connected. So if you're noticing that that's not offered through your company and you're using one of these project management platforms, perhaps you can suggest that or just start a fun board where people can kind of chime in and throw out funny anecdotes or what's happening with their own personal situation. But also, there are some other ways that you can connect with your team. You can have team building virtual calls, like maybe there's a cooking class that everyone can kind of join in on, or I heard that one company was doing beer making classes. Maybe it's a virtual fitness class. It could feel a little silly in the moment, but I think it would be an opportunity to have fun and kind of reconnect in the virtual space.
How do you see office culture changing after the pandemic? What might happen?
I think we'll see more companies open to the remote idea, to having more remote workers. But perhaps we won't entirely lose the in-person office space, because that is still so essential to some businesses. And even for myself, I mean, I work for myself and I work from home, but it is so important for me to create those in-person engagements, you know, setting up lunches or media events where I, you know, travel to a city where I connect with the people who I do media interviews with. You know, having those in-person moments are still so important. So, and I think that for a lot of people out there who are going through this experience, they'll realize, well, maybe I don't want to work from home 100% of the time, but certainly 1 or 2 days a week, that would help out in reducing commuting costs and perhaps just with people's schedules, you know, between shuffling kids to work and sports practice, or to school and sports practice and all that, you know, reducing the commute will help significantly.
We're talking with communication expert Andrea Warrock. We're going to shift gears here, get some money tips from her in this difficult time. Have you filed for unemployment insurance? Have you talked with your credit card companies? Where are you at in managing the financial fallout? What guidance do you need right now in navigating job loss? We're at 800-642-1234. We'll be back after this news update here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. First, we just want to say thank you for giving to Wisconsin Public Radio during our Giving Tuesday Now. Your generosity keeps us connected with essential news and thought-provoking conversations. So if you missed Giving Tuesday Now, there's still time for your gift at WPR.org. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you so much. Right now, we're talking about money management in these trying times. So whether you're worried about your job, bills, debt, retirement, any other financial impacts, we're talking about it, getting at your money questions at 800-642-1234. What big financial decisions have you made in the past 6 weeks? What did you use your stimulus check on? Could you make rent or your mortgage payment this month? What about this summer? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Andrea Warrock is a consumer and money advice expert. She stays with us for the hour. Andrea, so workers have experienced layoffs, they've experienced furloughs, disruption of income. What advice do you have for people struggling to pay bills right now during this really unsettling time?
This is such a uncertain, stressful time for so many people. And let me just say that also, because we don't know the long-term impact of this economic impact of this coronavirus outbreak on our businesses, and because we really don't know when things are fully opening up. It's not like, you know, our governors are just turning on a light switch and everything goes back to normal right away. So even if you have a job, I would urge you to listen to some of these tips that I'm going to share, because maybe you will experience some disruption in income down the road if things don't go back to normal right away. So the first and most important thing that I want to touch on is that cash is the most important thing for everyone right now. So if you have your stimulus check or you're getting on your unemployment and you are able to manage some of your bills, you want to still make sure that you're giving yourself a really healthy savings account. Now, typically, we like to tell people to have at least 6 months of living expenses set aside. And I know that that might seem overwhelming for some people. That might seem like too much. So anything that you could put away right now would be really helpful. So if you have your job, you know, put it away. If you have lost your job, you still want to put some money towards your savings, and then prioritize your bill payments by calling all your creditors, by calling your landlord, and finding out how and what your opportunities are for deferring payments or negotiating reduced payments for the time being. There are a lot of creditors, credit card companies and energy providers who are willing to allow you to defer payments without any interruption in service for your energy providers, or without accruing late fees, or even maybe interest may be waived for the next few months. And when you figure out which bills you must pay right now and which you can defer, you can kind of play Tetris with your bill payments right now. You know, figure out which ones you have to pay now and which ones you can defer for the time being.
But this is a lot of conversations now, or it could be multiple conversations with creditors, with maybe your bank, maybe your landlord, or and so how do you structure that conversation? What do you say over the phone? How does that negotiation work?
Right. Well, first of all, that is what you just hit the nail on the head. You have to call everybody. And again, if even if you haven't lost your job, it's a good idea just to get on the phone and have a financial contingency plan for in the event something does happen. This would really allow you to just have a little bit of peace of mind that you know how to move forward in the event that there is some disruption in income. So when you call your bank, your credit card company, the first thing you want to let them know is, you know, that you're a customer, provide your account information, and then just explain your situation. They all understand what's going on, and they have a plan for how to manage their customers and their clients for whom have been economically impacted by the pandemic. And you want to find out how long you can defer your payments for, or if you can get reduced payments. And with reduced payments, then hopefully that means that you will not have to pay back the remaining balance. So that you want to ask about that. And then you also want to find out that if you are deferring payments at the for the time being, what that means for any interest that may be accruing. So for instance, we know that with the federal student loans, you can postpone payments to the end of September. And during that time, interest will not accrue. There is actually a freeze on the federal student loans. And so no interest will be accruing during that time. So by postponing those payments, you don't have to worry about paying any additional fees. Now, with private student loans, however, even if you defer a payment for a few months, interest will still continue accruing over that period. That interest will then be capitalized and added to the total amount that you owe, and you will have to pay interest on that interest. So that means that if you have some money, you might want to pay your private student loans right now, so that you don't get into that situation. So it's a matter of calling and writing down all the information that you're gathering and figuring out which bills are the most important to pay right away and which ones you can safely wait to pay that won't, you know, add late fees or interest on.
As you go about these discussions, and I'm sure you'll be on hold for a while, but when you do talk with someone, what proof may you have to show or give about your financial situation? Are there documents you should have on hand?
Honestly, right now, I don't think that you need to. I mean, in my experience, I haven't heard that you need to provide any documentation. If it's a big business or company in your town, you can always, you know, refer to that. But these companies have a plan in place that if you mention that you've been impacted and you explain your situation, that they automatically offer the program that they've set up for their customers.
How do you know that the deal that you're getting is equitable and fair as another customer or as your neighbor?
Well, honestly, I guess that would just come down to speaking with people that you know and finding out what they're doing and what they're being offered. But most generally speaking, the deal or the, you know, the reduced payment that you might be getting is going to be
usually across the board.
Might be already pre-planned program that the company that you're working, you're trying to negotiate with has already set up for the coronavirus, who have been affected by the coronavirus. Now, however, you do have an opportunity to still negotiate some of your bill payments and get a reduced payment by just negotiating beyond the coronavirus issue. So for instance, if you've had a cable plan for a few years and you've noticed that that plan price has kind of inched, it slowly increased, and now all of a sudden you're paying maybe $50 $10 more than when you first signed up, then you should call your cable provider and ask them if they have any new promotions or how can you qualify for a lower price plan without really changing your service. And you might want to do a little bit of competitive analysis in your area to see what other companies are offering for new signups that you can leverage in your negotiation. And you want to do this on your mobile plan, on your internet plan, and even call your car insurance providers.
We're talking with Andrea Warrock, who is a consumer and money-saving expert. We're getting money tips during the pandemic. With your questions, where have you found flexibility when it comes to managing bills and financial responsibilities? What would you recommend for others? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Andrea, how would you suggest working with your utilities like electric company and water?
Right. Well, first of all, most of these companies will allow you to pay late without turning off your service. But instead of just allowing that to happen, you might want to call them ahead just to explain your situation. But some may reduce the amount you owe. So for instance, I own a vacation rental property in Florida, and I received an email from my utility company there that I was getting a credit on my account. This was just part of their COVID relief program. So you want to just call and find out if they're offering anything like this to you in your area. So it's just like we mentioned earlier, call. You have nothing to lose. Call, find out what you can do and explain your situation. And even if you are deferring your payments, find out how you're going to have to repay that balance afterwards, because it's not like you're all of a sudden going to have this tremendous amount of money to pay everything at once. So you're going to have to figure out a repayment plan with these different companies as well.
So after these negotiations, what would be your next tip as you look at your spending and what items that you're paying for each month? How can we tighten our budget?
Yeah, so go through your bank statements, go through your credit cards, and the first place you want to look is all those reoccurring bills that you're paying every month. So I just mentioned the cable, internet, and phone. So the first step for those would be to call and negotiate better rates. And if it means switching to a competitor, then you'd have to tell them you're going to switch. You might find that that magic word all of a sudden results in a significant discount on your plan, but calling is the best first step. Next, with your mobile plan, since you're home now, you're using your home's internet connection, that means you can change your plan to a lower tier data plan. You're not going to be using as much data, so you could save money on that for the time being, and you can always change that in a couple of months if you're going back to work. As well, with your insurance, if your homeowners or car insurance has gone up over the years, shop around. Now is a good time to switch. I recently switched and saved over $1,000 on my annual premium. I can't believe that it jumped that much in the first place. But that's a significant savings. As well, you can increase your deductible, so you're not driving around as much. Increase that car insurance deductible. That will offer an instant savings on your monthly bill. And then also for the entertainment options that you're paying for. Maybe you're thinking about adding another video streaming service. There's a lot of free options out there. Just go to your local library. You can rent a lot of digital options through your library's platform.
Talking with Andrea Warrock, a consumer and money advice expert, helping us navigate these uncertain times. Where have you found flexibility when it comes to managing your bills and talking with creditors? What would you recommend for others? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Andrea Warrock here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. No matter where you live, there is a really good chance that the coronavirus pandemic has affected your financial outlook. And a recent study by the credit reporting agency TransUnion found 3 in 5 U.S. consumers have been financially hit by the global crisis. So have you trimmed big and small expenses? How did you tighten your spending? What advice can you give to others? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. We have Andrea Warrock, who's our guide to money-saving advice, and she stays with us. Andrea, how should we treat our credit cards at this time? Should we put them away, still use them?
Yes. So I think that for a lot of people, you have your, if you have credit card debt, one of the tips that in typical situations is that I want people to focus on paying down that debt as fast as possible and putting as much money towards it. But as I mentioned, you really need to preserve your cash right now. So making those minimum payments is okay. But instead of, you know, making just a minimum payment and accruing interest, and that minimum payment is probably just going towards the interest that you're accruing every month, look for a new credit card. A lot of credit cards out there are offering deals like 0% on balance transfers for a promotional period of anywhere from 12 to 21 months. 21 months is a long time. And once you transfer that balance, that means you have that 1 to 2 years to pay off that balance without any interest. So that means whatever monthly payment you are making towards that balance is going right towards the actual balance and not towards any interest. So it will help you really chip away at that debt faster with even making small payments for now. And then hopefully when your financial situation stabilizes, you can then put more money towards it and really pay it off finally. So that would be one of my biggest tips about your credit card.
Yeah. How do you shop around for credit cards? Where do you look at what is offered, their deals?
Yeah, you can just run a quick online search or go to sites like Card Rates or Nerd Wallet. They do a really good job of analyzing different cards and giving you the specific details for each card.
How can we cut back on spending money for groceries? We're eating at home a lot, which is good, but it seems like those grocery bills are getting bigger and bigger.
Yes. So actually, right before we switch gears, I wanted to touch on one more element before on like creating financial security, because I think these couple of issues are really important for a lot of people right now. So the first I would say would be, you know, as I mentioned, having that savings fund. Also, think about life insurance. I'm not saying that anything is going to happen with the coronavirus, but I think with times like these now more than ever, we know that life is so uncertain. So you should always have life insurance if you have anybody who financially relies on you. And there are so many great sites where you can apply online, and they have life insurance calculators online where you can figure out how much coverage is adequate. And then it's also a good idea to get your estate plan set up and figure out if you need a will or a trust based on your personal financial situation. And now more than ever, creating a will online for your parents if they haven't set one up. And it's so easy to do. You could set up a will in just 10 minutes. And there are sites like trustandwill.com, which make it really easy, and they give you step-by-step instructions through the process. And it costs just $70 to create a will, and it takes just 10 minutes. And that gives you just the peace of mind that everything, all your assets and personal belongings are protected. Your kids are protected and will be taken care of if something happens to you. And your health will be managed to the way you want it to be when you can't make that decision. So I just say to do those two things to create that peace of mind that your finances and your family are protected. So I just wanted to throw that out there. But as we talk about other ways to save, groceries is such an important and big area that families need to focus on, because this is a part of their budget where they probably spend a lot of money after rent and mortgage or mortgage. So it's one, the first step is to meal plan, and you want to meal plan effectively. So think about each meal that you're going to be cooking for and look for different recipes online, but you want to cross-reference that with what you already have at home in your freezer, in your fridge, or in your pantry. So you really maximize the ingredients you already have and reduce what you have to buy. But I also like to tell people to look for recipes that use similar ingredients for the week. This way you reduce food waste, because I don't know if you're like me, it's happened to me, but you might get one ingredient for one recipe and maybe you only use a portion of
it. You know, don't use the rest of that ginger. That's right.
Well, in the trash, and that's like throwing away your cash in the trash. You know, it doesn't matter how cheap you got one ingredient. If you throw it away, you're throwing away your money.
Well, Andrea, so we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Andrea Warrock is a consumer and money saving expert. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Carl Christensen with a story about meeting neighbors.
Moving to a new community can spark a host of challenges. Marisol Gonzalez of Madison shares a story about trying to win over her new neighbors with food and kindness.
6 years ago, I was moving to a very white neighborhood. And when we moved to that neighborhood, my husband told me that one of the neighbors told him she will be watching us because, and if she noticed anything wrong with us, she will call the police right away. In that moment, I gotta say that I like people to like me, and I'm very friendly. So when my husband told me that, it just triggered my obsession for this neighbor to like me. So I decided to do what Mexicans does, which is a party. I bake a lot of cookies, and I make fancy invitations, and I went to the whole block to invite all of these neighbors. Some of them, they don't even open the door, but I left the cookies in the mailbox. And so by the time of the party came, I cleaned the house. I asked my children to be dressed nicely. And for a Mexican also, this is a big deal. I had everything ready 20 minutes before the party started. By the time for the party started, I was starting to get very, very nervous because I made a lot of food. I made tostadas, guacamole, I had tamales, I had empanadas, hot chocolate, beer, horchata. By the time for the party started, nobody was there. And by that time, I already knew white people a little bit. So I knew that they usually come 5 minutes before the party started. So I was very nervous because nobody was knocking my door. And I was thinking a lot of thoughts like, what if they really, really don't like us? What if they don't gonna give us a chance? And all of a sudden, 5 minutes after the party started, somebody knocked at the door. And there was two old ladies who brought us like plants and welcoming cards. They stay only for about 15 minutes, grab an empanada, and take home a cup of hot chocolate. And you will think I was disappointed, but as I say, I'm a very friendly person. That was the best day in the new neighborhood for me. I decided to continue doing more parties because that works for two neighbors. So I keep persisting doing that. And any single chance I had to make a party, to meet more neighbors, I will do it. All of a sudden, all of these neighbors start to come to my parties. And then they start to making their own parties. Last October, we had to move out of the neighborhood. What happened is the neighbors put a party together for us. Even some of them cry and ask us, why are you guys leaving? Don't leave us. The bond that we made in that white neighborhood with only one family of color was very amazing. And the most important thing that happened is that everybody liked me.
Marisol Gonzalez's story came to us from the podcast Inside Stories, which features Madison storytellers and digs deeper into their lives. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Carl Christensen.
And this is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.